Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh.
Do we have a stool?
You may be seated.
Any stool?
I have a problem. You can see that, can't you? May great Father Yahweh give us much peace, joy, and love today as he determines and as he desires to give each one of us individually. So, for my problem here this morning, the great Last Day's Witness has been showing us this card. He said, everybody has a problem. So we can give those cards to them and tell them, hey, you have a problem, I can solve your problem. So today I brought my problem to you. Ask me what's my problem. Nice. I try to look at the news when I can. As I'm looking at the news, I begin to feel depressed. Then everything begins to hurt me. My head, my brain, my mind, my heart. Everything begins to hurt. I get some Kleenex. And I sit and I look at the news. At some point, somebody said to me once, well, you know what? You don't have to sit there. You can go to the kitchen or something and the news can play. I said, no, let me sit right there and see what's going on the news. It's our fault, our forefathers' fault. I see a bomb dropped in Syria. I see a baby get hurt. I see a man picks up the baby and he dashes to a van with the baby. I see the mother. She looks around. She sees the baby going in the van. And you know what the mother does? She runs. She flies to that van. And you know how the women in Syria dress? With long gowns? Do you know how the women in Syria dress, most of them? With long gowns. And she's running, running towards that van. You know how mothers can do things when their children are in disasters? She meets up with the van and she sits in there. She knows her baby is going somewhere. I see that they're advertising lethal injections. They say, oh, those drugs, when we give the drugs to the men who have been assigned to die by, you know, death, sentenced to death, it should last about 10 minutes so that their brain, their mind, their heart will just collapse and the body gives way. It should last at least about 10 minutes. 20 minutes, the man is there, trembling in pain, frothing at the mouth. 30 minutes, he's still there. Who's looking at him? 45 minutes, he's still there. Grinning, frothing in pain on his dying bed. 1 hour, he's still there. Who is responsible? So his lawyer say, oh, that can't be real. Let's go and file a lawsuit. He's been there an hour. They come back and the man is still there. Then the news lady says, the war in Gaza, and she reads something. In Gaza, we see the babies, children dying. What percentage of the children are dead in Gaza? Babies on strollers, pain, they don't know what's wrong with them. Who is to blame? She reads a quote and the quote says, humanity stands disgraced. Is it right here? Could we see it, please? It says, humanity stands disgraced. She reads the quote and the end of the quote says, may I have it? The end of the quote says, humanity stands disgraced. Of course, we know where the term human comes from. We know disgrace, their language means horrible, a shame. What did you do here, mankind? Humanity in essence. What have we done here? May I have my slide, please? What this is, I'll read it to you. It says, heartbreaking image by an Iraqi artist taken in an orphanage. This little girl has never seen her mother. So you know what she did? So she drew a mom on the ground and fell asleep with her. How many of you have mommies in the great house of Yahweh here today with you? Give your mommies a big hand. She has never seen her mommy. Who is to blame? So she drew a mommy on the ground and she fell asleep with her. It says, appreciate what you have, since you don't know what you've got until it's taken away from you. That's when it is too late. At this time, we have our 8 young great teachers. They are going to give us more examples that fall into the category of humanity standing disgraced. But what they will do, though, is the thing that they have been taught by the greatest teacher in the world. They will show us where hope lies in Great Father Yahweh. And with this, we'll turn over to our first speaker, Great Deaconess Alma.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, now, I'm going to be talking just a little on one of the things that has filled our world with disgrace, and that would be the clergy abuse, or the abuse that's going on by the priests in the churches. Now, a while ago, you know, we didn't really even hear about that, or not so often, but today, we keep hearing about it all over the world. Now, there was this article from USA Today, and it was titled, Clergy Sex Abuse Settlements Tops $2.5 Billion Nationwide. That's $2.5 billion in just the settlements and the victims' therapy bills. And get this, he said that since the year of 1950, that's 50, there's been nearly 17,000 victims and about 7,000 accused priests. And that's just the ones that's actually reported something, because many of them won't go and say nothing. And there is this documentary, but due to a lack of time, I couldn't bring any of it today, but it was called Deliver Us from Evil. And it focuses on 3 victims that was abused by some Catholic priest, and then also one of the priestess' story. And one thing about it is when the man, the priest, is being interviewed, you only see him on the side. He's standing on the side of a road. But in the background, you hear children playing, like as though he's standing across the playground watching the children. And he even admits right there that he likes children. When one of the families had found out about the abuse, they had went to press charges against him, but they told the family that if you don't press charges, we'll send the priest to get help. But they didn't do that. What they did was sent the priest about 90-something miles to another church where he continued abusing more people. And that went on about 3 to 5 times it was. They just kept relocating him to new churches instead of getting him the help. And there's victims of all ages of the abuse. So I want you to think quickly in your mind, what's the youngest age you think was abused? In this documentary, the youngest victim was a 9-month-old. And I just know that I have a baby cousin, and she's just a little over 9 months old and not even walking. And it's sad that it occurs to children even younger than that, but it does. Now, if you remember, OIH had... It was a little bit ago, but he was speaking about birth defects, everything's babies were born with, and he kept flipping page per page. Remember that? He said, I can't read all of it, but it was so many pages. The same article said that the Catholic Church released nearly 50,000 pages of records detailing the actions of abusive priests. And another sad thing was the priest himself didn't know it was wrong, he said. Just like we heard not too long ago, Pastor said, the priest said, I didn't know it was wrong. He found out when he went to court. One thing that really upset the families was when one of the priests, when they reported the abuse, he got promoted in the Vatican. And they showed him, like they seen the video, so they went to go see the Pope. It was Pope Benedict at the time. The three of the victims, and the Pope, guess what he did? Denied them. He wouldn't even see them. Why? Because we know that it's that lifestyle. He's behind that lifestyle, and he's part of it. So is that the kind of lifestyle and environment that we want for our children? No, it's not. And the house of Yahweh is the only one on the face of the earth that protects the children in every way possible from those such things. And it's because Yeshua Hawkins has taught us how to have peace and joy in a world that's so messed up by making it simple with a peaceful solution and the laws of Yahweh. So it's our job to bring that same peace to the world. Are we ready? Yes, we are. Praise Yahweh. Now with that, there's a quick video to be played. If I could have the video, please.
There are horrible sights in our world today, and due to lust, many innocent pay.
Children left dead, or no parents at all. War, fighting, and death is all they recall.
The leaders abuse them and instill in them fear, while the Pope fakes repentance, hoping his name to clear.
Lives have been shattered, and many are afraid, praying every night that these atrocities will fade.
Disgrace stands humanity, their lives a nightmare. This way of life fills many with despair.
There's only one way to true peace, my friends. And you can only learn that from Yeshua Hawkins.
A message for Pope Francis. Can we have your attention, Mr. Pope?
Please repent, Mr. Pope.
Repent, Pope Francis.
Respectful Francis.
You need to repent.
Amen. Repent, Mr. Pope.
Pope Francis, did you hear me? You need to repent.
Let's stop Pope the Rat.
Pope Francis, I love you, but you have to start going to the house of Yahweh, Pope Francis. And you have to love people and not do anything wrong that you're not supposed to do. Pope Francis.
Yahweh. Okay, and with that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Would you like to eat a dog? No, that wasn't convincing. Would you like to eat a dog? No. You say no because you've been taught. So many people in today's society don't know the difference between clean and unclean foods. Today we're going to talk about unclean foods. I will remind you a story that Pastor shared with us. We will go over some scriptures and look at a definition and a word in Strong's, and then we'll talk about a solution. In the third book of Yisrael, chapter 1 on page 7, verses 81 and 82, Pastor shares a story with us. He says, I don't know if you've ever met Mr. Cook, who used to own the health food store. I hadn't seen him for a few years, but when I saw him the other day, he had arthritis in his hips. I told him I could tell him where it came from, but he wouldn't believe me. Along with the health foods there he sold, he also sold shrimp in his store. I used to ask him, why would you sell something like this? He would say, the people demand it. I asked him, you've probably eaten this yourself, right? He said, yeah, I have to admit I like shrimp. I told him one of these days he was going to see he shouldn't have done it. I asked him if he ever ate pork. He said no, but I know he did. I know he ate pork because it was in some of the stuff he sold in his store. Eating these unclean foods is what caused the so-called arthritis. Eating unclean foods causes confusion to the mind and sickness. Pastor has been showing us for years now what these unclean foods will cause when you eat them. He shows us the scriptures too. If everyone would please turn to Leviticus 11, verse 7 and 8. It says, "The pig, although it has a split hoof, completely divided, it does not chew the cud. It is unclean to you. Their meats you shall not eat, their carcasses you shall not touch, they are unclean to you." So we see the scriptures clearly shows that pork is unclean. It tells us for several different other animals as well, and it explains to us why. For your notes, Deuteronomy 14, verse 8, and the definition of the word unclean from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary is morally or spiritually impure, lacking clarity. And we know that when you eat unclean foods, it causes confusion to your mind, and you're not able to think properly. And Strong's word number 2931, unclean, defiled, impure, and polluted. Please turn over to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you." There's no reason for anyone to continue partaking in these unclean things. We can clearly see the scriptures tells us not to. You can see the sickness and confusion it causes to the mind. We are so blessed to have Pastor point this out to us. He has set up so many ways so we don't have to defile ourselves by eating unclean foods. Praise Yahweh. The solution is easy. Follow and listen to the things Pastor has taught us and continues to bring out concerning the clean and unclean. And in closing, I want to encourage you to remember all the things that he's taught us about clean and unclean foods. And if you please stand, now I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. So today I would like to continue speaking along the lines of how humanity stands disgraced, as the news person said it, but we know that mankind has brought themselves to this state. Now, I looked up the word disgrace in American Heritage Dictionary. We know that this is their language, and it means to bring shame or dishonor. And we know that what brings shame and dishonor? Sin. The breaking of Yahweh's laws is what brings that. And so that reminds me of something, actually a place that we all know. It's not just a place, it's a system. Can everyone see that? The city that sets on seven hills that teaches sin and how to bring dishonor upon mankind, putting everyone in grave danger. And just to remind you, the own Pope's writers said that the Catholic Church is in grave danger, if everyone remembers that. So we see the wars in the countries today. We see how sin has spread throughout the whole world. And the main thing the Catholic Church wants to do is to kill all forms of righteousness. Does everybody remember when Pastor always tells us that? The Catholic Church is wanting to kill off all forms of holiness. They don't want anyone to practice wearing the veils, to practice eating clean foods, or keeping the Sabbath, or using the name Yahweh. And that in itself should show that the house of Yahweh is being protected in these last days. So now the war is going on in the countries and between the nations. We know everything is according to prophecy, but I would like to go back to Genesis, way back in the beginning, if you all turn there, Genesis 4:14. And this is an example with Cain. Surely, and remember what we're taught. Pastor always tells us that Cain drove himself out of Yahweh's presence through sin. "Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall not be seen by your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond upon the earth, and there shall be continual war, vengeance, and retaliation." That continual war, vengeance, and retaliation is what we see in these last days. Mainly because the Catholic Church wants to turn the world not only to worshiping Mary, but also to what? Sodomy. I have an article, it's entitled The Vatican City, and I want to read you a part of this article because it shows how they try to deceive into thinking, making everyone think that the Catholic Church is a new thing just because they moved from being in the temple in Jerusalem, just because they moved to the Seven Hills of Rome doesn't make them another different system. So this independent city-state, and I think Pastor even told us this last week, was established in 1929, not too long ago. The treaty spoke of it as a new creation. So you see there, they're thinking that they're teaching something new if they've changed their teachings. No, they haven't. In the scriptures, you can see where even Yahshua Messiah spoke to the Pharisees, showing them the same things they practice today. Now, war has always been within the Catholic Church's plans. And even after Yahshua had ascended and when the house of Yahweh wasn't here, you can see that they always taught that you either convert or you will be killed. And you can see there that the sword they killed with was the cross. You just turn it upside down and there's the handle, you see? But there you can see what they went out conquering and to conquer with. This same system right here. But you know what? Not only does this right here represent worshiping Mary, and neither do they use swords and spears anymore. They want to turn the world to sodomy, and now they, if you don't, and you can see this now, this is why the war is taking place. If the nations don't turn to this way of living, they will start waging war against them, and very soon there will be that burning, the nuclear burning, that only those who come to Yahweh's house, learn from Yisroel Hawkins, and keep Yahweh's laws will be protected from. Now we can see, just for your notes, if you'll write down Genesis 6 verse 3 and 1 Samuel 8 verse 3 and 5 is two examples of how mankind, when they transgress Yahweh's laws, when they turn from Yahweh, not wanting his rulership anymore, they brought themselves to this dishonorable state. You can see in, if I have time, I'll read Genesis 6 verse 3, where Yahweh said, "The men of this world will never subject themselves to my law." So in conclusion, I'd like to remind you that we have been taught these things and we're not deceived. But the only way we can stay that way is if we continue to listen to Yisroel Hawkins, take notes on Sabbath, and practice teaching what we learn, because only the house of Yahweh has that solution. And with this, if you all please stand, I'll turn over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Okay, now I'm going to be talking a little bit about the genetically modified foods. And I'm going to first show you a video of some of the things that they're doing to create them and how it goes totally against the laws of Yahweh, and also how it shows that they have no love for mankind. So with this, can I please have my video? Okay, thank you. Okay, so a few things, if you couldn't see it, just a few of the things that it was 70% of the items on the shelves in stores contain GMO foods, and many of them are not even labeled. And a GM corn species is based on a Vietnam Agent Orange. And then another one was a pesticide made from scorpion poison has been injected into cabbages, and it's reportedly safe for humans but paralyzes the insects. Now, you can see with just a few of the things there that they're putting in our food and how it's affecting the people. And we hear a lot of health problems that people experience, and sometimes it can even come from the foods because they're being genetically modified. Now, also one thing it said in the video that they're finding now that you get a higher risk of developing cancer from the GMOs. Now, like I said earlier, it shows, because they know what this is causing, they know that it can cause people to have health problems, and it shows how they have no love for anyone just so they can get the money that they want. Now, another way that I also saw how it's affecting the people is with the farmers. And there was a story in India with farmers, because of the cost-inflated and ineffective seeds, a quarter of a million farmers in India have committed suicide because of it. And many of them did it by drinking the very same insecticide that Monsanto supplied them with. Now, you may ask yourself, why would a company, a group of people, knowing what it will cause, want to create something that they know will cause harm to people and the environment? And of course, Yahweh told us, and we heard this scripture many times in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, and it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, and there are some who, pursuing it, have strayed from the faith." Now we can see with the world, they only care about what they want, serving themselves. And that's one of the reasons why here we're taught to be trained to serve others, so that we aren't so much focusing on ourselves and what we want, so that it doesn't grow to the point to where the world is, to where they no longer care about the lives of others. And we also know that it's our job, that we're being trained to guard the food supply and to keep it the way that Yahweh created it. And in ending, we will be fixing the things that has been done by the greed of the world soon and bringing it back to the natural way that Yahweh created it and never allowing it to occur again. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. If you can turn over in your books of Yahweh to Matthew 24, verse 10 and 12. And then will the many be offended, fall away, and will betray one another, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will deceive the many. And because iniquity, the breaking of Yahweh's laws, will abound, the love of the many will grow cold. That is my topic today. The love of the world is grown cold. We see what was prophesied in that scripture taking place all over the world. And I'm going to show you just a few examples if I could have my video.
High for a small community outside Grand Rapids as they mourn the stabbing death of a little boy. The suspected killer is only 12 years old.
A woman is charged with stealing from a dying teenage boy, and police say she made no effort to get help.
Twin sisters accused of an unthinkable crime, killing their own mother.
A Florida man is facing life in prison after tossing a 3-month-old baby boy out of a moving car.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Reef al-Laziqiyya Masyaf Salam.
Okay, so as we can see, murder is the normal in the world. The news reports a mother, a father, a baby getting killed every day, like they're reporting the weather, like it's no big deal. They have no love and peace. They don't know the meaning of peace. They've never experienced it. They are taught and trained in the way of Cain, the way of continual war and fighting. That is their only solution that they have for their problems right now. It doesn't have to be this way. The leaders of the world say that there is no hope, but they're wrong. The laws of Yahweh brings hope to the world. Yahweh gives us laws that will solve all of our problems. He gives us a great teacher to teach us these laws so we understand it. The laws of Yahweh can change the heart of a mind of a person from peace to war. Each member of the House of Yahweh is an example of what Yahweh's laws has done. And perfecting ourselves is just the beginning of what Yahweh has called us here to do. Pastor has told us that we are not just here to learn all that he says, but to teach what we've learned. We know that we have a choice to choose righteousness. The world doesn't know this at this time. They don't know that they can achieve peace without lifting their fist or raising their voice. It's time to start becoming that teacher that has been teaching us for over 50 years in the wilderness and to start teaching Yahweh's laws. You can put an end to all that you have just saw, anything that you've seen in the world, child abuse, animal abuse, the food supply getting defiled, all the fighting that's going on in Israel. You can put an end to that if you apply yourself and you are striving for perfection and you learn all that you can from our great pastor and overseer. When we do this, when we apply ourselves, and when we come to perfection and teach the world, this is what we'll see. If you'll turn over to Revelation 21, verse 4. And Yahweh said, and Yahweh will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, nor will there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. There will be nothing that you see in the world, no child abuse, no children without mothers like the first teacher showed, none of that will be in the world anymore. It will only be true lasting peace, and everyone will work together in unity in the kingdom of Yahweh forever in true peace. Does everyone want this? Yes. I certainly do want this. So with this, just continue to apply yourself. Make sure you pay attention to all that pastor says so you can be the one to clean up the earth and teach the world. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may all be seated. Have you ever entered a room and everybody stares at you and doesn't say shalom? Do you truly love the people sitting next to you? Have you seen the news lately about the Gaza Strip? Do you think treating everyone with respect is a must? How would you feel if someone went behind your back and lied about you? Today, I'm going to talk about Positive Law 206. We're going to look at what has occurred because this law wasn't kept. We're going to start with the nations and bring it down to our lives, but we do know it starts with the individual first. Today we see Israel and the Gaza Strip, they're at war with each other because they believe the other took the other person's property and they don't accept each other's religion. Here in the United States, we see our president's name slandered. In the cities, we see gang violence. In our communities, do we smile at each other and treat each other with respect? And in our homes, children, do you treat your siblings with respect? Children, do you treat your parents with respect? And parents, do you treat your children with respect? You please turn over to page 98 in your books of Yahweh, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge nor bear a grudge against one of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor, whether a brother or an enemy, as yourself. I am Yahweh. Right there, Yahweh tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Yeshua also taught the same thing. He taught that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. You please turn over to page 750. It is Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 to 40. Yeshua said to him, you must love Yahweh your Father with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang depend all the law and the prophets. And for your notes, if you please write down Jacob chapter 2 verse 8 and Yochanan Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to 34. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Greet others with a smile and a shalom. Respect others' privacy. Use your words to encourage others. Mind your own business. Live a quiet life. Avoid contentions. Think about it for a moment. What a world would be like if everyone treated others they want to be treated with respect. There would be no fighting. There would be peace between nations, cities, communities, people, and even in our homes. Did you know that we can actually achieve something like this? It starts with us. We have to be the ones to show respect and love towards others. I encourage you to truly love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, Yeshua set an example for us, Pastor sets an example for us, and we can follow their examples. We can truly prove to Yahweh that we can and will love our neighbor as ourselves. The peaceful solution begins with us. And if you all please stand, I'd like to welcome up the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay. So I want you to think about this before I start my speech, okay? All right. Everyone see that? Let's see. Everyone see it? Okay, it says Amazing Grace. All right. Amazing Grace? Or Amazing Grace. Okay. All right. Everyone see that? Great. All right. All right. So I want you to think about that while I read you a part of that song, the song of Amazing Grace. It says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Now, this was written in the year 1779, and this is actually a Christian song. Now, the part that says, I once was lost, but now I'm found, is kind of like how pretty much mean that they're seeking for hope. It's a song of hope and seeking for wanting to get out of slavery and things like that. But pretty much, they're trying to seek for hope. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing about hope. It's just trying to get hope without Yahweh's laws is impossible. But did you know that this song is used a lot in when the president gets in office, or maybe they probably want hope from the president. But it's used a lot for memorials, used a lot in funerals these days, and also in war, which leads to humanity standing disgraced. Someone was actually telling me this week that it is the 10th anniversary of World War I, and that was on World War I was on July 28, 1914, but we're in 2014, so that was 100 years. But 100 years after, humanity is still standing disgraced. Well, if you go to Proverbs 29:26, it's on page 515, and it says, Many seek the ruler's intervention, but justice for men comes only from Yahweh. So the world can't find hope. They try seeking it from the government, but their only solution is through war, and it's always their solution is through war. But if you really want hope, you have to seek the house of Yahweh, because we solve it with the laws of Yahweh that will bring true, lasting peace. Now, think of the laws that the world has rejected that could have brought them that peace that they're hoping for. Like, do not steal. Now, our leaders were probably never taught not to steal. because now there are government leaders and they steal oil from other countries. Another law, do not murder. Well, remember Pastor said that it all starts from hatred and then it leads to murder. Now, for an example, like the Catholics, they hate the Muslim and they start building up that hate and then they start fighting against the Muslim. Well, same thing with the Muslim. The Muslim, they start building that hate towards the Catholic, and now it just started off a big war. And another law is do not bear false testimonies. Well, of course, a lie or saying a false thing about someone can cause a conflict. Like, it's the same thing of two countries. If they lie about each other, it's going to start a big war. But there's many other laws that they have rejected that could have brought them peace. But do you know what is more amazing than the false grace and hope that comes from man? The laws of Yahweh that can change the hearts and the minds. And Pastor sums it pretty much all up in this song, which you should probably all know. We look ahead to your great kingdom, peace and health brought to the earth. Yeshua and saints as shining examples will all bring peace to the universe. And is that better than the amazing grace that the world has to offer you? Praise Yahweh. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today, I am going to show you a video that I came across on the internet. And when I saw it, it really brought home to me the point that the system that is causing humanity to stand disgraced involves every single person that is not in the house of Yahweh. It involved you, before you came to the house of Yahweh. And even the authorities out in the world are not helping. They're the ones who are supposed to be controlling it or stopping the immoral behaviors that are going on. They aren't helping as well, and they are very much involved in the immorality that's going on out in the world today. When you see this video, please remember that it's not confined to only drinking and police officers. It also involves the priests, the politicians, every authority, everyone who is not a part of Yahweh's system. May we please show the video?
Point time, price dispatcher. Cut that fire dispatch, 1097 WPH 1014.
If an owner receives it, proof of driver's license is insured.
1985 Dodge. George, please let that go. 1066 Dodge, 1043.
Are you okay? I'm fine.
I've been drinking. Look at this. Looks like you're missing three of them. And open container.
But you
stay in the car.
Exploit to the 2009. No 29 to the record.
1026 Louisiana. 4811334.
Get out! Get up! Get up here!
I don't understand.
I don't understand, but
it's
your job to understand right now. It's your job to obey.
Okay, but
it's your job to obey.
Okay.
All right?
Probably been drinking more than
I've had a couple. But it's not important.
Yeah, I don't care. But that's my wallet. But,
1549. Here's the deal.
Okay.
Here's the deal, because I'm in a good mood. Here's the deal. New rule today.
Okay.
Okay? If your blood alcohol level is lower than mine, I'm going to let you out of here, you and your woman.
Okay.
You get that fixed. Here's how we're going to test it.
No
Okay, are you
alright? I'm up against the car!
Okay.
We're gonna walk a straight line. We're gonna say the ABCD.
I'm sorry?
We're gonna walk a straight line. We're gonna say the ABCD is the alphabet.
Okay.
Watch. Watch, and you'll see. I'm good. I've had about six. Watch. A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, T, is B, W, X, Y, and Z. Just like that.
You want me to do it now?
Yes, I want you to do it, but watch. There's a trick.
Okay.
Heel, toe, heel, toe. Did you see that part?
Are you okay?
M, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, T, is B, W, X, Y, and Z. See that? Hey! Hang it! Hang it!
2364, White Bill, Expiration 9/23/2002, Madison Ballot, No 29, Italy.
Okay, so in that video you saw what the moral concept of this system is. Teaching by example is nowhere in their vocabulary. Tell me, where is the only place that you can learn true positive moral character? The House of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The only true positive moral character can be taught by the teachers and the leaders in the House of Yahweh, which we are all training to become. This is the only place that will teach positive character and put a stop to all this immorality that's done by everybody who is not involved in the system of Yahweh's way. And with this, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. We have some more speakers for you this afternoon, and pray that you keep your pencil and your pens and your notebooks out and be ready to listen from some more great teachers. Praise Yahweh. Shabbat Shalom again. Please, you may be seated. I'd like to give a clap and applause, a praise Yahweh, to all our young teachers. Now, the concept of humanity standing disgraced is not a new concept. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Last Days Witness, Israel Hawkins, he's taught us for how many years now that mankind has stood disgraced. And we see those examples right here from the young aid teachers. We see the examples that they gave us. Now, I want to give a quick test to the children. Two names that the greatest teacher in the world has been using lately. Two names he has been using, sorry. Talking about humanity standing disgraced. I'll give you three names. Then I'm going to give you two statements. Statement number one and statement number two. If statement number one refers to the first name I gave you, write a one. If it's statement number two, write a two. I'm going to give you the names now, children. Write those names down. Samuel. Write your names down, children. Samuel. Moshe. I'll give you three names. Adam. Now listen to the statement. It says, our greatest teacher told us. He says, the children of Israel went to this man and they said to him, you're getting very old now and your sons are not teaching the laws and the prophets as they're supposed to. Get us a king so we can invent the drones, we can build the bombs, we can do all those things. Which of the men did the children of Israel go to? Write your number. One, statement one, next to the name. Next statement. Korah went to him and said, "But you're crazy. All of us are holy. Me and all my crew are holy, just as you are holy. Who said you could be ruler over us? My wife and all my children are holy, and all the ones of us are holy too. Who said that? To whom rather?" Do you have it? Very nice. Which name has number one by it? Tell me, children. Is that true, mothers? Praise Yahweh. Very nice. Which name has number two by it? You were bright. So therefore, you will be able to teach the world true moral values, as the last young speaker told us. Now, humanity standing disgraced goes all the way back. Not just to their time, but even before their time. And if you turn with me now to Genesis quickly, please. Genesis 3 and verse, chapter 3 and verse 13. This was Yahweh going to somebody because she had done something disgraced, and one of our teachers explained to what disgrace meant, their language. And Yahweh said to the woman, "What is this you have done? What is this you have done? What is this you have done?" said Yahweh to her. She said, "Oh, the serpent," and she gave a fancy story. Later on again, Yahweh asks the same question to somebody else. Genesis 4, 9 and 10. You could take for your notes. But it says, "Then Yahweh said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And what did Cain say to him?" "I don't know." Then Yahweh said, "Well, what's the voice of the blood I hear, the microorganisms? Cry not, Cain. What have you done? Cain, we like to kill. Cain, Pope Francis. I mean, Cain, I still have my problem from earlier this morning. Cain, we like to kill. Pope Francis, is that why, Cain, we create the bombs? Is that why we threw two bombs, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, even when they said, 'Please don't do it anymore,' they said, 'No, no, 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 we need to kill. We have drones, mosquitoes that can go into the person's skin and kill them. What's about the thing we're doing now, Cain, Mr. Pope, in Ukraine?'" They used the word subhuman. What's a subhuman? I'd like you to find that great house of Yahweh. The word was used, subhuman. We must get rid of the subhumans. What's a sub sandwich? Is it half a sandwich? So what's a subhuman? Humanity stands disgraced. So, I need to read you something quickly before my clip. It says, "Humanity, what have you done?" asked Yahweh to them very early in the stage. "California public school kids now required to study contributions of LGBT, lesbians, gays, so and so and so and so. It says, the California department is implementing a new law that requires all children of the states to study the role of the lesbians, gays, and so and so and so and so as development of California and the United States. Mothers of the children we have in the public schools, development of California and the United States of America. Textbooks and so will positively promote lesbian, gays, and so and so and so and so. It also notes that the children as young as kindergarten must be taught to admire such persons, making them role models." Great House of Yahweh, are those the role models we want for our children? They gave us better than salt, better than butter. What did they give us for better than butter? Margarine. better than salt they gave us, Mrs. Dash. Now they've given us better than women. May I have my clip, please?
Oh my God, he's grab her ass. Oh my God.
Stop, stop.
And then they say police brutality. Arrest her.
Stop. Oh, he is beating her up, yo.
Oh my gosh, why?
Is that a cop? No, he's just holding her down. He can't. I'm watching this.
This showed humanity standing disgraced. Beating on an old woman. May I have the picture, please, of the robot? Yes, this is the better than women. It's a robot and her name is Pepper. She's the robot now that will be taking care of our children. She's a babysitter. House of Yahweh, do you think she will teach your children Yahweh's laws? Would you want Pepper to take care of your children when you are out? So that's what they gave us for better than women. The House of Yahweh, we don't want to be a part of this. And now they've given us better than men. Let me just show you the better than men. Because when they send the two mommies to Mars, and they send the two daddies, one to Afghanistan and one to Libya, they got us better than man. Because what's going on is that the soldiers, they don't want their soldiers killed anymore. Too many of our soldiers are being killed, and when they come back, so let's give them one of those. He's a war machine, Mr. Pope. Kane. He's a war machine. Better than man. Great House of Yahweh, do we want to be a part of this? Let us promote Yahweh's way and always continue to stand firm with the great last day's witness, because we don't want to be a part of the humanity standing disgraced. We want to be a part of those who will fix it with great Father Yahweh. And with this, I turn over to the great next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I hope one of those robots don't have to replace me up here one day when I get old. Alrighty. So, the title of my speech today is Let Us Go to the House of Yahweh. Let us go to the House of Yahweh. And this is stemming from my experience with the Sabbath. Because when you're a little child and you have been grown up in the world, when Saturday mornings was the best morning to watch all your cartoons with all the Transformers that our head judge showed us, this was really hard to let go of on a Sabbath morning. A remote control. Because you were told, no, you can't watch those things on a Sabbath day. We're trying to get away from that. And you're like, okay. So all morning you're sitting there, and then you go to services, and then lunchtime comes, and you're excited because mom got you the best snack ever for the Sabbath day. And then you look at the clock after you ate, and it's not moving. Staying at 1 o'clock after you've been digesting the food. And the clock, as you can tell, has no battery because it's really not moving. Right? On the Sabbath day. Remember your first Sabbath day? The clock just wouldn't move. At times, if I could bring in the sun as a prop, I would show you that the sun doesn't move neither. It just doesn't. And then you're like, oh my word, is this really how the Sabbath is supposed to be? Is it? No, it's not. It's not supposed to be like that. And over time, we learned what the Sabbath was. It was, let us go to the house of Yahweh. Now my Sabbath mornings, they start before the sun comes up, okay?
I'm driving. I'm hurrying to get onto the 44, because if I don't, I know I'll be late. And somebody will be like, where is she? So I pack everything in the car, and I'm driving. And I'm like, okay, we're before 7 o'clock. That's great. You know, I have a few more time to get unloaded. And then I pop open the car, and I step out, and I realize, why can I feel gravel on my feet? My hair is combed, my clothes are on nicely, and I forgot to take off my house shoes. Well, let us go to the house of Yahweh, right? On a Sabbath day. That's how excited we should be on a Sabbath to get to our work. That if we have to work in our house shoes, that's okay. That's okay, right? That's okay. And I want to remind you about that in Psalms 122. Because as I grew to learn the Sabbath and knew what the Sabbath was about, I hope one day we could do it one day again. The congregation would sing before services, you know, during services we would sing, and there's always this song, and you can tell, "Let us go to the house of Yahweh." And it was a very joyous song. And I've never seen so many people dance in my life, you know, at any kind of congregation. But this song really made everybody dance. Psalms 122. We were glad when they said to us, "Let us go to the house of Yahweh. Our feet will stand within your gates, O Jerusalem," which we know has been translated correctly to Abilene. Okay? So that's what it is. Let us go to the house of Yahweh at Abilene. Find your joy in the Sabbath. Find your joy in that. Because in Deuteronomy 12, on page 157, in Deuteronomy 12, verses 5, it says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name, and there you must go." There you must go. And let's jump down to verse 7. It says, "There, in front of Yahweh your father, you and your families shall eat, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to do, because Yahweh your Father has blessed you." Yahweh your Father had blessed you. And another scripture to witness to that, let's go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 on page 567. Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. Isaiah 58, verses 13 to 14, found on page 567. It says, "But you are to turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasures, your own business, your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Call it a delight. The holy day of Yahweh honorable, and will honor him by not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure or engaging in idle conversation. Then you will find your joy in Yahweh." You will find your joy in Yahweh. So I pose two questions for you. First question, what do you look forward to on the Sabbath? What do you look forward to on the Sabbath? And it's not just seeing Israel Hawkins on the Sabbath, but seeing Israel Hawkins on the Sabbath. That's what I look forward to. I can't speak on behalf of you, but that's what I look forward to. I look forward to, even though it gets busy, to have a little break time, to actually, in the morning, take a moment to go back there where the concession stand is, that's been blessed to me, and sit down with my sisters and drink a cup of coffee. And that is the joy on the Sabbath day. It is the joy. Question number two, are you making others look forward to the Sabbath? Are you? Even the smallest little thing as, "Oh, honey," to your little daughter, to your son, "What do you want to eat for the Sabbath morning? What can we look forward to eating together at the sanctuary? Let us go to the house of Yahweh and let's rejoice there." I mean, I'm sure a lot of children just like me love a slice of cake, right? Some ice cream. I mean, all the great stuff. And when you start them off with that little pattern of looking forward to the Sabbath day like that, then they start to realize Yahweh got something special for me in Yahweh's house. I want to go there.
But what stops us from rejoicing on the Sabbath day is our feelings.
Because all week we've been through so much, right?
But just like in a family of like 10 children, 15 children, there's going to be rowdiness. Even with just 2 children, there's going to be rowdiness. But Yahweh brings us all together on the Sabbath day because you're going to have to face your siblings, right? When it comes to the dinner table, you're going to face your siblings. You're going to have to make it up. And you're going to push aside your emotions and make the Sabbath a delight for yourself and for others. So keep those questions in mind and answer it for yourself before the Sabbath day and make your Sabbath a delight so that you can say, "Let us go to the house of Yahweh." And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. It's truly an honor and a blessing to be able to address you, sisters, here this Sabbath day. And to be honest with you, when I was told and asked to present a speech to you this Sabbath, I was asked, "What are you going to speak on?" And I said, and I took about 5 or 10 minutes to think about it, and my mind was blank at first. And then 10 minutes later, my mind literally got flooded with all these types of things that I wanted to talk about. So I texted my dear sister this entire list of things, and I called it a smorgasbord. And I told her, I said, "Yahweh willing, I'm going to put that all together and come up with one topic." Well, on that topic, nothing was toothpaste. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's toothpaste. And I know you might be like, "Huh? Toothpaste?" But yes, I'm going to talk to you today about toothpaste and how toothpaste, paste, or more so this tube, applies to us. Okay, so can I get my first video, please? Okay, so do you get what it is that I'm saying here today? So how many of you, I know I'm looking out here and I see a lot of mothers, have ever walked into maybe your bathroom and maybe seen your new tube of toothpaste open? And not just open, but maybe you've seen it all over the place, right? Have you ever seen that before? Maybe it was on your countertops, maybe in your sink, maybe your lovely child wanted to clean the floors with it, or maybe the new carpet. And at that moment, you really need to stop and think and really control what comes out of your mouth, right? Because it can really just be a little bit overwhelming at the time when situations come about. And I'm not just talking about those times when your child spills toothpaste or squeezes toothpaste all over all your possessions, but I'm saying that when we're in situations in general, we have that opportunity to stop and to think before we let the toothpaste out of the tube. And that's really the moral of the story that I want to share with you today. Because once that toothpaste, or once the words come out of our mouth, we can never retract them. We can never take those things back. And regardless of how remorseful we might feel, or we may see the despair that we put onto someone else's face, that hurt can never be taken back. So what I want you to think about today is, how can I change that? You know, how can I take on Yahweh's character? And it all starts first, of course, with the peaceful solution. And we all know that. And what I'm telling you is nothing new. This is what has been taught to us from the very beginning, from the first time we came into the house of Yahweh, we've been taught these things. So if you can turn over in your books of Yahweh to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I want to read that for you. It's on page 918. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication, foul language, evil word, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is righteous, that which is righteous for the necessary upbuilding of the house of Yahweh. So sisters, you know, before anything leaves our mouth, that's what we really need to be stopping and questioning ourselves. Is what I'm about to say going to be upbuilding to this individual? Is it going to be uplifting to the work of Yahweh? Because really, that's the only thing that matters today. In all things, the only thing that matters on the face of this earth is the work of Yahweh. And everything we think, everything we say, everything we do should emanate that. So that's what we need to think before we say anything to anyone else. Is what I'm about to say, is this going to be righteous? Is it necessary for the upbuilding of the house of Yahweh, that it may minister blessings to the hearer? Blessings. Okay? And I don't have time to go into it, but if you read in Genesis chapter 13, verse 7 and 8, we see an example here of bridling the tongue. When there's a conflict that was going on there with Abraham, he stopped and he brought about a peaceful solution. And he said, he basically said, let there be no quarreling among us. It takes a lot of self-control when a situation arises not to just allow things to come flying out of our mouths. It takes a lot of self-control. Am I saying it's going to be easy? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you do it, it will be worth it in the end. When we can stand and we can see all the blessings that our overseer have shared with us and more blessings that we haven't yet heard about, it will be worth it, sisters, if we can just learn to bridle the tongue. Now, in Romans chapter 14, let's go over there very quickly. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, on page 884, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things of peace. Let these things be in our minds, and the things which build up the house of Yahweh for one another. So, in closing, if I can have my last slide, please. If you have a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to write this down. Because this is something that we can do today, and really for the rest of our lives, in order to bring about a peaceful solution to all conflicts. Can I get my second slide, please? Okay, so before we think, these are some of the things that we need to do. And in the House of Yahweh, of course, in the Peaceful Solution, we like acronyms. So I took the word think and we made an acronym. The first thing is you need to ask yourself, T, is it truth? And what I'm about to say, is it truth? And we know what truth is. We learn that from the book of Yahweh, that the laws are the truth. Number two, H, helpful. Is what I'm about to say, is it helpful to this individual? Is it going to help the house of Yahweh, what I'm about to bring forth? The next one is I. Is it inspiring? Does it inspire the person that I'm speaking to? Is it motivating them to become better for Yahweh? Or is it a hindrance? The next one is N. Is it necessary? Is what I'm about to say, is it really needed? Do I really need to say the things that I'm about to say? Is it necessary? Weigh it. Use the STOP acronym. What I'm about to say, is this really necessary? And K, kind. Is what I'm about to say kind? Does it show love? Does it show compassion? Does it show that I'm understanding? Is it showing empathy to this person? Sisters, the time is so short, and this speech is not for just me or just you or so-and-so over there or so-and-so over there. I want you to internalize what it is that we're what's being brought forth today, and take this and apply it to ourselves. We cannot change what sister sitting next to us or behind us or in front of us does. We can only change ourselves. So if we want to make this world a better place and promote the peaceful solution, we have to be those living examples. And with that, I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. Enjoying Texas weather? I have three letters to describe this Texas weather. H-O-T, hot. I honestly thought if the scientists could put a man on the moon, why can't they create clothing with a built-in AC? It makes no sense to me at all. But anyhow, that was my okie joke for the day. Today, I would like to take this opportunity to speak about this. Keeping up with the Joneses. And my name today is Sarah Jones, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jones. Have you ever heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? Majority of us have, right? Yeah. Even overseer have used it a couple of times in the years before. What comes to your mind when you hear the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses? Is it competition or is it being on top, having the best? Yes. All those words describe the phrase perfectly. Let's read what Israel Hawkins says about this system in the second book of Israel, He Who Rules as Yahweh, Going On to Perfection. These sermons were given approximately 10 years ago, 12 years ago. No, longer than that. Since 94, sorry. And reading on page 286, it says, everything that they're building that looks like it is going to make them more powerful is actually bringing destruction. Did you know that? Everything that she has put her life through, Christianity, looks like it's bringing joy, doesn't it? It is a pretty picture out there. All the glitz and glamour, the Hollywoods. But what has it gotten you but stupidly chasing your tail like a dog going around and around? Why does every nation want to be on top? Why does every businessman want to be the best? Why do we want to keep up with the Joneses? Or get ahead of Jones, as the old saying goes. This is the same spirit Satan has. Yes, sisters, that is the same spirit Satan has. We were all once part of the system, those of us who came out from the world. A product of this way of life, right? Yes. Following after the ways of the flesh. Loving, love for oneself only, not serving one another. Being on top without caring how you got there. The Joneses compete for a crown. Love my crown. They compete against each other for a corruptible crown, a crown of riches. Yeshua spoke about these types of people. Let's read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, found on page 732. Do not store up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. But the book of Yahweh plainly says we should not be like this. We should not store our treasures here on earth like the hypocrites do, because they have their own reward and it is not eternal life. The apostle Shaul wrote about this also in Colossians, and he says to put off the old man with his evil practices and take on the armor of righteousness. Therefore, sisters, honestly, we should all aim to keep up instead of the Joneses.
Instead of the Joneses, we should keep up with Israel Hawkins. Right now, he's teaching, he's wanting us to become teachers of righteousness, teaching what you have learned here in the house of Yahweh to each other. I would like for you to take this opportunity to think about a competition. For example, a race, but not any race, a 40-year marathon. That's how long we've been here training, 40 years so far. There are many competitors competing in this race, this marathon. But we are not competing against each other. We are not competing against each other. The thing about this marathon, what makes it special and unique, we are competing along with each other, not against each other like the Joneses. In this race, there are no one winner or many losers. There are only winners, and we all could be winners. But we can only become winners if we endure till the end. Every single one of us can win. We can win. We can do it. You can win, you could win, you could win, and I could win. Not just one person. But in every competition and every marathon, we need a teacher or coach. On the count of three, who do you think our teacher or coach should be? Yes, Israel Hawkins. He's given us everything we need to win this race. The classes, the books, the book of Yahweh, the many countless hours of teachings and explaining. So that is our end prize. No longer would I be, Sarah Jones, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jones, but I will be Sarah Hawkins, daughter of Yahweh. And I no longer will need this type of crown. I will have this type of crown, a crown of total righteousness. That's all we need. Let's win together as a family in unity, perfect love, joy, and peace with each other. Praise Yahweh for this opportunity. I would like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom. You may be seated. It's an honor to be here again. And I wanted to, I don't know, do y'all remember that storm we had a little while back? It was kind of bad here, but we know Yahweh always protects us. But over to the east, it was really bad, especially for the little island Hope. There was no more island left. It had flooded completely. All that was left was just a little bit of the top of a mountain, and on that mountain was a frog and a scorpion. Now, they were talking about it. You know, they were all that was left. They had watched everyone else get in their boats and leave, if they had a boat. The ones that didn't have a boat, they drowned, and they knew they were next. And they were talking about it. Well, it's coming. The water's coming up. It's coming up. And all of a sudden, the scorpion said, you know, I remember hearing about a place over to the west. I don't remember what it was called, but they said you could go there and get eternal life. That sounds pretty great right now. And the frog says, yeah, I remember. They called them the Yahwehs. It was the house of Yahweh. You think it's true? And the scorpion says, I don't know, but, you know, the ones that went never came back. So the frog got to thinking about it. He said, well, I can swim. I'm going to swim for it. I mean, what? I'm going to drown anyway. And the scorpion said, well, take me with you. And the frog said, I don't have a way to take you. I don't have a boat. And he said, I could get on your back. And the frog said, you think I'm crazy? You're a scorpion. You'll sting me. And the scorpion said, no, no, please, I won't, I promise. And you know you can't go off and leave me here to drown. So the frog reluctantly said, okay, but please don't sting me. And off they went. And the frog, he swam and he swam and he swam and he swam and he just didn't think he could swim another inch. And about that time, the scorpion said, I see it, I see it, you see it? I can see the top of the mountain just barely over there. And the frog looked, and sure enough, he could see it. And he said, I can make it now. I know I can make it. We're going to get there. So he swam, and he swam, and he swam. They could see it. They could see the building. They could see love, joy, peace. And all of a sudden, he felt it, the sting. And he turned, and he looked at the scorpion. Why? Why did you sting me? Now we'll both die. And the scorpion said, well, I'm a scorpion. That's what scorpions do. It's in my genes. I'm too old to change. Now, I heard this story being told. I've changed it up a little bit, but I heard it being told to some people years ago. And the people that it was told to, it was being told so they would be encouraged to change. But they have sense left. But I always knew that Yahweh had me working in that area so I could hear it, that it was for me. Because I was so aggravated with that scorpion. I mean, I really got upset about this. How could it be so stupid? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and then I thought, well, what's the difference between me and the scorpion? When I sin, don't I bite, sting Yahshua? Don't I sting Pastor, who's worked so hard to teach us not to sin? What's the difference between the scorpion and me? And I really thought about this so much. I couldn't believe it. We have to change. The scorpion didn't change. We can change. We have to change to live. We won't drown if we change. Now, I'm too old to change. Well, I remember an old couple that came to the house of Yahweh. That I think they were in their 80s. They've gone to sleep since in their 90s. And I can remember when confession came out, and they didn't complain one bit. Matter of fact, the only thing they were worried about was would they be able to remember all their sins. Can you imagine being 90 and having to remember everything? They were really concerned about that. They changed in their 80s. So tell me, we're too old to change? No. In 1 Yochanan 1, 9 through 10, it says, He who says he is in the light, yet hates his neighbor, is in the darkness until now. He who loves his neighbor abides in the light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. Now, I want you to remember that sting. It doesn't have to be physical. As the judge was saying earlier, it can be verbal. You can lie about someone. You can mistreat someone. You can say that you can hurt people's feelings. It doesn't have to be a physical sting. Every time we speak bad about each other, we murder each other. And we have to remember that. But we know that Yahweh has given us the opportunity to repent. Remember, we came here to change, didn't we? Did we come here to stay the same? That wouldn't make any sense. Remember in Genesis 1:26, we're made in Yahweh's image. We can change. We can be just like Yahweh. And a young girl asked me a while back, what scripture do you like the best when you teach? And y'all probably know by now it would be Genesis 4:6-7. Because I always think of that when I'm acting ugly. Where Yahweh said, Cain, why are you acting so ugly? And that's all we have to do is remember that when we're in a mood or we're upset or we're angry. Just think about it. Think about Yahweh saying, Ria Shekinah, why are you acting so bad? And we can change it. We have to change it. We have no choice. If we want to be in the kingdom, we must change. So remember, we don't have to be scorpions. And I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be either one. But if I had my choice, I would definitely go for the frog. He's cuter. But come on, we don't have to be that way. We can love one another, serve one another, and all, as the head judge said, go to the kingdom together. We're not competing against each other. We're going together as a family. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. I'm a treasure hunter. I hunt treasures. That's what I do. How about you? Do you hunt treasures? Do you like treasure?
Yes.
You do? All right. I gotta see. I'm not even sure if I'm in the right place. Hang on. I got a map. Okay. Maybe you can help me. Can you help me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, I got this map. You see this map? Now, do you see where I started out? Can everybody see where I started out? Yell it out.
Sin City.
Sin City. How many of you started out at the exact same place that I did? Show of hands, maybe a praise Yahweh? Okay, now, am I at the right place? Did I make it?
Yes.
Is this the house of Yahweh?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, I have gone through it to try to find this place. This place is not very easy to find. I started out in Sin City, and I went down Route 666. I ended up in the Valley of Sin. And then I went through the Oppression Ocean. Now, it said danger, do not swim. And I had to get to the other side because I was searching for a treasure and I had a map. How many of you followed the same map? You can give me a praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
Okay, great. So after I found a way, and it wasn't on a frog, to get across the Oppression Ocean, I made it to Tribulation Trail. Okay. Tribulation Trail, sometimes we go back and revisit that a little bit. How many of you been back to visit Tribulation Trail a little bit? Okay. And then finally, I made it right here. And what, just... it's a three-word thing I made it to. Let's say it together.
House.
Count of three. One, two, three. The house of Yahweh. Okay, so four. But see, when I was still in Sin City, I couldn't count to three. Okay, so we made it here. I'm going to put my map away for now. We made it here. So, you know, when you first get here, you think... what's the treasure? You come and you see a building and you see a bunch of people who kind of look like you. They're frazzled. They're trying to overcome. They got some stuff going on inside here. Right? And how many of you felt the same way when you got here? Okay. And then you say, let's look inside, because if this really is a treasure and I found it, surely I can see what this treasure really is. Because it's a treasure. It's a treasure map. I was following a treasure map. Now, sometimes because you keep popping back and forth between that tribulation trail and the house of Yahweh, you forget. So I'm going to remind you what this treasure is. Now, in my treasure chest, I found that you can receive weekly teaching sessions with the greatest instructor on the face of this earth. Is that a treasure? Yes, it is. Here's what else I found in there. Guaranteed protection from every disease overtaking mankind at this time. Is that a treasure?
Yes.
Yes, it is. the world's greatest health program, guaranteed.
That's a treasure.
Ooh, this one. Free life insurance with all benefits. Treasure. Insight. Now, they pay money for this. We get it free here. Insight to solve not only our own problems, but the problems of everyone around us. Ooh, maybe we shouldn't be taking this place so lightly. This is a treasure. A safe environment for you to raise your family. No Catholic molesters here. Exclusive access to non-GMO, healthy, farm-raised, clean food. Weekly character education teacher training classes where you can earn a degree in teaching. That's for an eternal job. Answered prayers. Shelter from the soon coming nuclear wars. Yeah, that's... Yes! You'll be clapping a lot more when that bomb goes off. Invitation to 3 major teaching seminars every year! No more debt from holiday shopping! You know, the reason that I wanted to bring this speech is because sometimes we forget how much of a treasure the House of Yahweh is. You know, right now they've got Ebola going on, and they've transferred 2 Ebola patients here to the United States. We've got murders, drugs, everything that you've seen our previous speakers bring up. Droughts, floods, earthquakes, everything. The Gaza Strip, all the bombings and the inhumane things going on there. The Ukraine crisis. But I just want to remind everybody that Genesis 28:17. The patriarch Jacob, remember what he said? How awesomely, amazingly, wonderful, treasureful, awesomely, anything you can think of, amazingly, greatly, this place is. This is none other than the great house of Yahweh, and it is a treasure and the gate to the great kingdom of Yahweh. Now, I wanted to just kind of give you another gaze because in Exodus 19:5, it says, "Now therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you also will be a special treasure, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation to great Father Yahweh." You know what? You are the great treasure in the great house of Yahweh. And I'm so glad I found each and every one of you. Praise Yahweh. And we can be that treasure to Yahweh. We can show him how much we appreciate this great house. And to end today, we have a video that our overseer wanted us to see. It's 4 minutes long, and then I'm going to turn it over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. My name is Badzion Maji from Jos, Nigeria. I'm here to say in brief what the house of Yahweh means to me. I like to describe the house of Yahweh as the only place in the whole world where truth is being taught without mixture of righteousness and evil. House of Yahweh to me is the only established work of Yahweh in these last days. The teachings of the house of Yahweh has really helped to mold in my character, especially when it comes to the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. There are things I used to do, but I don't do them again because of the teachings I received from the House of Yahweh, either through weekly sermons or from the Peaceful Solution books. Coming to the House of Yahweh is the greatest achievement in my life as a young girl, and I really thank my parents for bringing me to the House of Yahweh. I love the House of Yahweh. I love the work of Yahweh. I love Israel Hawkins, and I aspire to be a Kohana in the great House of Yahweh. Shalom.
Now I ask myself, what really does the house of Yahweh mean to me? To me, the house of Yahweh is the only place on the surface of the earth where the truth is not compromised. To me, the house of Yahweh is the only body or organization that has the solution to all the problems the world is facing today. I'm really more than thankful to be in this house today. I also thank Father Yahweh for bringing our family to this house at this time. If not, we would still have been out there in the world worshipping one God or the other, practicing a mixture of righteousness and evil. We would still be deceiving ourselves that we are practicing the laws of Yahweh. I love the house of Yahweh and I'll remain in the house of Yahweh forever. Shalom.
What does that shot Yahweh mean to you?
Theory of life.
Praise Yahweh.
You've seen snowflakes, how they fall slowly and at an angle from maybe the south to the north or north to the south, but at an angle. Well, it was falling, but it wasn't snow, it was gold. It was gold flakes. It wasn't a dream now. I could see it really, really real, and it was gold flakes falling. And I laid there watching it, and I was amazed, but I don't know what it means.